Good to have the guitar back. Mine won't sound quite the same, probably. I could strum it. I could make noise, but it'd be about it. I don't know. I'm not sure it'd even be a joyful noise. The junior church is dismissed. I can see him leaving. A few weeks ago, we looked at the pillar of fire and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that led Israel to the promised land. Faithful Israel moved with the cloud and stopped when the cloud stopped. God blessed their obedience and showed himself powerful as he led Israel into the promised land, gave him victory over all the battles, and allowed Israel to worship God in spirit and truth. Following the cloud immediately and faithfully shows that you are in the will of God. But does being in the will of God always promise a smooth road? Ask Job. Perfect in all his ways. And yet he suffered greatly through it all, but was blessed greater at the end than he was at the beginning. Now Psalm 23 shows Jesus Christ leading his flock. Verse 5 shows that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever if you follow your shepherd. But verse 3 shows that there's a problem there. To get there, you need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If we follow Jesus, he will lead us through that valley. If we follow Jesus, he will give us victory in that valley. If we follow Jesus, he will show us the way because he knows the way through the valley. The way's hard, but he's sovereign. He knows exactly what to do, and if you trust him, you will have that victory. Today, we look at what happens when we follow the cloud. If things don't go as planned, if the world persecutes us, if we suffer setbacks, can we still trust his leading? Do we rely on worldly wisdom as we leave the cloud behind? No, he called me. I moved. Now it's time to use my talents and my ideas to finish his good work. Peter tried that. Peter showed us the answer today as he came when Christ called, immediately, showing he was in the will of God, but then found his faith lacking. Let us find out what to do when the cloud takes us into a storm. Turn to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 34. So Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. Some of the words in these verses are very important, as they normally are. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in a fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word today, we realize that in this world there are many storms, but you are the God of the storm. You are God of the creation, and you are sovereign over your entire world. Lord, when you lead us into the storm, let us keep our eyes on you. Let us keep our focus on you. Let us follow you, for you know the way, and you will not allow the storm to overwhelm us. You will keep us above the whelming flood if we trust in you. And Lord, when we lose that trust, for we are weak, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, And when we are weak and lose our focus, let us remember to follow Peter's words and say, Lord, save me. And put our eyes back on you and let us have the victory that you intend for us, knowing it is your strength that will bring us through the flood, not our ideas, not our way of doing things, but only you who are sovereign over all storms. And let us increase our faith as we see you leading us through more and more and giving us victory after victory that you have placed on our vines as we are connected, branches, we are connected to your vine. We ask all of your precious sons your name. Amen. Now in John's telling, Jesus sends the apostles away for a reason. John 6:15 says this, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Sending the apostles away allowed him to get alone and allowed him to disperse the crowds. It also allowed him to commune with his Father in heaven, and it also gave him an opportunity to show himself strong in the apostles. They could increase their faith and increase their knowledge in him as he worked forth to show them what he needed to do. Here we see Jesus constrained them to get on a ship. They didn't want to leave. They had just saw 5,000 people fed with a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. A miracle they couldn't explain. And everyone was excited. They wanted to be part of this excitement. Their devotion was admirable. But Jesus needed to teach them. First, long prayers are sometimes needed. The fourth watch is 3 o'clock in the morning. He sent them away right after supper and shows how long he prayed, how long they were in the ship. 3 o'clock in the morning is when they came out. Second, don't fight the storm on your own. Jesus is sovereign over every storm. And finally, Jesus showed a follower will not avoid storms. But you can safely navigate through them by following the Good Shepherd. You know, sometimes I have to go through a storm when I'm flying. You know, Tom there wants to go to L.A. for some reason. There's a storm over Kansas. To get to L.A., I've got to go through the storm. Same thing in the church. God has a path for us. God has a way of victory. God has a destination for the ship of Berea to get to. But quite often, there are storms over the ocean, and we need to get through those storms. And God shows us that he is sovereign by allowing us to come through those storms. And when we start sinking, we cry, Lord, save us, and he puts us back on top of that water. So as we pray for God's guidance in Berea, we see storms everywhere in the horizon. If you're not, you've lost your subscription to your newspaper. It appears we are in the valley of the shadow of death. Nothing happens as we suppose it should. Has anything happened the way you suppose it should so far? If you do, please take over for me because it doesn't happen the way I want it to. So, do we follow Jesus to the house of the Lord? Or do we look around and give up thinking the storm is too strong for us? Let someone else do it that's not facing the storms we are facing. God may bring us through these storms to show himself mighty through us. If we sink and drown spiritually, he's going to find someone else to show himself mighty to that will then follow his leading. If we cry out in faith to Jesus as we were in sink, he will bolster our faith and allow us to come to safety so we can trust him more. Teaching us in the small storms, he's preparing us for the mighty storms to come. We're looking through the book of Revelation. Trust me, there's some storms coming. We can see them on the horizon. Do you want to be part of the victory or do you want to be someone left behind, suffering loss because you didn't do what God called you? If you want to be part of the victory, you are going to face storms. The small storms, just like they did with Peter here, allowed them to face the larger storms that would come after the crucifixion. So if you're in the boat in Berea, you need to realize four things. First of all, carnal obedience is necessary. Second of all, it leads to spiritual obedience if you are focused on Jesus Christ. You will have spiritual failure, but you will also have spiritual victory if you follow that cloud. So carnal obedience. Here we see the apostles did obey, but they didn't do it willingly. Notice he said he constrained them to go. No, we're supposed to obey willingly, joyfully. They didn't want to leave him. Again, their devotion was admirable, but he said go. Well, if he says go, you go. But being compelled, they obeyed out of duty, not out of desire. Lacking joy in service, what'd they do? They went through the motions. They were very skilled seamen. You told them to go to the other side, okay? We'll get in the boat, we'll go, fine. And they pushed off in very fair weather. We see here a picture of people working in a church under their own power out of duty and not out of love. Doing what is expected and nothing more. They didn't want to go over the other side. They did it because felt they had to. In the church, we can have the same thing. Well, I have a need, I'll go fill it, fine. You don't have the joy if you're not doing it, trying to produce spiritual fruit, trying to follow Jesus Christ. They recognize the truth of 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. They obeyed, but they would soon learn through their carnal obedience the spiritual lesson that Jesus Christ was to give to them. So even if you're obeying out of carnal obedience, it does set yourself up for the lessons that he will give you. And they were going to learn that Jesus, not they, are sovereign and have the power to save. Working on their own power, they hit a storm. While Jesus was praying, they weren't. Using their own skills, they tried to bring the boat to the destination they desired, but were not successful. It was not happening. The storm was too strong, and every one of their physical efforts was absolutely fruitless. As Jesus prayed until 3 o'clock in the morning, they worked and worked without prayer and accomplished absolutely nothing. The boat was so tossed about, it could have been broken up. They were worried about it. That's what we see when Jesus started walking on the water. They were scared. Their focus was on the storms, and they forgot the one whom they obeyed in the first place. Even when the deliverance came, they didn't recognize it right away. They thought it was some death angel coming to take them away to hell or wherever they were thinking they might have been going. Only when they heard his voice, did they realize who he was. This was Jesus Christ coming out. Still concerned, still afraid, they did recognize his voice. When their focus returned to Jesus Christ, they would see the victory and move to the destination, but not before. If we see any need in the church, don't feel compelled to serve on your own power out of some sense of duty. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for God's strength. Pray that he will lift his cloud and move you to where you need to go so you can serve him in spirit, in truth, in love, and in joy. If you do not, you may face a larger storm to teach you the proper obedience on him. Only when seeking his face will you accomplish your call. Until then, you're going to be like them. You're going to be doing all kinds of work, but you'll be accomplishing nothing because you'll be doing it on your own power, not giving glory to God. Rowing and rowing and seeing the storm only drive you back. So with this carnal obedience, though, did come spiritual obedience. The spiritual obedience came when they saw Jesus Christ coming out. They obeyed because they're compelled to, but now in a position to obey him, they heard their master's voice. What happens when you heard your master's voice? Turn to John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. Once again, they see this person out there. They're working very hard. I don't know if any of you have been working very hard on something. Sometimes you don't recognize everything around you. They see something coming. They don't know what it is. They're afraid it's a death angel or something. It's a spirit. They don't know what it is. But now look what happens in John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he goeth, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Peter recognized his shepherd's voice. Recognizing his shepherd's voice, he put his focus on his shepherd. Putting his focus on his shepherd, he obeyed his shepherd because he knew his shepherd was leading him in the ways of righteousness. He wasn't fully certain. He recognized his voice, but to make sure in a dangerous situation, he said, if it's you, tell me to come. Well, the word come here, which Jesus told him to do, was a strong command, not a request. He was testing Peter's faith. You told me to tell you this to come? I'm telling you to come, and it was in the form of an order, not a request. He tested Peter's faith. Peter joyfully obeyed that voice. We see here what a total focus on Jesus Christ looks like. The boat is being tossed about. They're not getting anywhere. It's possible it might break up. They're seeing lightning. They're seeing everything go around. You probably have 10-foot waves out there. It is a nasty, horrible day, one I'd be hiding from. Peter sees it, finds Jesus Christ. What do you do? He jumps right out of the boat. Something that makes absolutely no sense at all. None. How many of you would be willing to do that? My hand isn't up either. So Peter sees this. He jumps out, goes out, and he's walking on the water. Now, the waves are nuts, and he's walking probably above the water. He's doing this. He's looking at Jesus Christ. He's saying, man, this is great. This is wonderful. I'm going to see my Christ. His focus was so much in him, he didn't care about anything else in the world at all. He wanted to be with Jesus Christ. That is what a full focus looks like. Waves high, wind strong. Peter doesn't care. With a total focus on Christ, he walked as Christ walked. You want to have the power of Jesus Christ? You want to walk how Christ walked? You want to have the fruit that Christ promised to give us? You do exactly what Peter did, and you put a full focus on him and go where he tells you to go. He desired to be with Jesus regardless of the situation. He trusted in Jesus like God told Israel in Isaiah 43, 1 through 2. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. The cloud moves. Jesus says, come. Peter immediately follows and trusted the waters would not overflow him. He walked to Jesus, focusing only on the beauty of Christ. Christ is sovereign over all his creation. If he wants me to fly tomorrow without an airplane, I'll fly tomorrow without an airplane. But I can only do it if Jesus tells me to do it. We may have floods of doubt, of fear, of temptations, trials, or privation. But if our focus is always on Jesus Christ, he knows the way through the storm, and he knows our needs. We will have his victory for his glory, and the waters will not overflow us. In Berea, when the cloud moves, even in a storm, we must follow like Peter does and trust that we will not be put into the flood, but will rise above the waters. We will arrive at our destination, and then after we do so, obtaining the victory he intended for us, we will rest. And then when we rest, we wait for the cloud to move again. And we will again follow the cloud, and it will probably take us through a larger storm. If you want to be able to be one of God's warriors in the storms to come, you have to be prepared. How many of you are in the military? Okay, when you're in the military, you don't go, they don't say, okay, Philippe, I've drafted you. Pick up a rifle and go fight them. Go through basic training first. They put you through some trials. They put you through some areas to prepare you. Well, some of the storms we go through are basic training to prepare us for the victories he intends for us to come. But we have to be faithful through those storms. We have to learn to put our faith in Christ, and we have to learn to follow him regardless. Well, when you do that, I went through basic training, and it wasn't always a great day, and I didn't always succeed. I had some failures. Peter had a failure. Those failures teach us to be stronger. It's exactly what Jesus wanted to do. Peter followed the voice of the Christ in the mist. He's sitting there. He's on the water. I'm with Jesus. I love this. This is so great. Wait a second. Boy, what was that lightning I just heard? Boy, that's lightning over there. I just got some water over here. Man, the wind is making me frigid. This is not good. So, I'm focusing on Jesus Christ. I'm on the water. As soon as I look over here, I'm worried about the world. All of a sudden, I'm not in the spiritual realm where Jesus is anymore. I'm back in the physical. Back in the physical, I'm trying to do things on my own. I didn't bring my floaties with me. I'm in trouble. I don't have anything on my feet, a surfboard or anything. I can't even surf back. What am I going to do now? I'm a skilled seaman. I know what happens when you go overboard. You drown. So, with that focus, he starts to sink. Once focusing on the worldly problems, he's fearing the consequences of the fallen creation rather than trusting in the strength of the Creator. He allowed the fog of the world to cover the cloud of God. He now relied on his own understanding instead of God's. Now notice, Peter didn't immediately sink and drown. With us, as his faith comes off, Jesus does allow us to suffer the consequences. But he didn't put him right under the water. He didn't drown him right away. But as he lost his focus, he started relying on his own ideas. With us, he followed the words of Proverbs 16:25, which is repeated in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Trust me, had he not said, Lord, save me, he'd have been dead. He'd have been drowned. So he was teaching him about the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. He was teaching him, focus on the spiritual if you're in a spiritual battle. Don't try to rely on your own understanding. Your own understanding is not going to work because you are carnal. The spiritual requires spiritual wisdom. The cloud brings us through the valley of the shadow of death. Focus on his cloud. His wisdom will lead you through that valley. Focus instead on the dangers of the valley. You will lose focus and lose the victory and end up dying in the valley of the shadow of death. When Christ calls, it may be on a sunny day. But as we follow the cloud, that cloud may bring us through a storm. Sometimes the cloud goes a long ways. It may look hopeless, but Jesus, again, knows the way. Follow him, receive the victory, and walk above the flood to the destination, and it will not overwhelm you. Focus on a worldly problem. The storm may cause you to follow the world, and you may spiritually drown. Follow God's wisdom and not your own, as 1 Corinthians 1, 25-29 reminds us. It says this. Now, as we start this, think about how foolish this is. We have all the apostles in the boat. They are all skilled seamen. How foolish is it to jump out of a boat into a storm in the water? Well, verse 25 says this, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now think about if you had some university professor in that boat. Peter, get back here, you idiot! We see there, again, God calls us. His wisdom is high above that. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Lean on his understanding, you will walk above that flood. So, we see him all of a sudden losing focus, losing faith. He had a faith in Christ. He wouldn't have jumped out in that water if he didn't. But his faith wasn't perfect. Anyone here have perfect faith? No, we're still working on it. That's why he's not called us home yet. So, he's working on that faith. Jesus Christ now deals with that lack of faith so he can prepare him for the bigger things that are to come. Peter is sinking. So, he's in very choppy water. And similar to the man of Mark 9, who had a son cursed with a demon, Jesus told him if he believed, that child would be healed. The man said this in Mark 9:24. A verse I know very well, and a verse that applies very well to me. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I have faith, but it's not perfect. I know that you are the sovereign God of the universe, but I see the world. I see the world the way it is. I am not strong enough to do it. I can't do it. I don't have that kind of faith. Christ knows that. That's why he's leading you through it, so he can teach you more and more about that. He's teaching you that you're sovereign. You're 100% right. I don't have the belief I need. I don't have the faith I need, but Christ keeps working on me to build that faith up. Jesus did save his son, accepting a small faith and showing his power to strengthen that faith. Why do you think that storm was there? That storm was there to teach Peter that he had to rely on Christ. And if he had relied on Christ, he wouldn't even have got his clothes wet. Lacking that faith, relying on the world, he found out the world's wisdom. When he showed that lack of faith as he sank, he said basically the same thing that the father of the boy said. Lord, save me. Jesus lifted the back of the water and led him to the ship. Rebuking a lack of faith, he showed the apostles exactly who he was. Of a truth, he is the Son of God. The lesson completed, Peter believed. And Jesus helped him in his unbelief. Peter followed the cloud to the water, got lost in the cloud in the fog of the world, called out to Jesus to see the cloud again, and was lifted out of the whelming flood. Lesson for you. You find yourself in the middle of a battle. You find yourself losing in every corner. You find yourself trying to use your own wisdom. Say, Lord, save me, and rely on him once again. Jesus Christ himself prayed until 3 o'clock in the morning. We can't pray too much. If you're having issues, go back to your Heavenly Father and deal with them. Now, seeing the power of Jesus, all the apostles increased their faith. Obedient to go into the ship. Obedient to call out of Jesus. Then they saw Peter walk out on the water, sink, get lifted up, and put back in the boat.
And what happens when we got put back in the boat? The storm stopped. It was probably glass smooth. They're looking at this. And they all of a sudden realized, this is the Son of God. He is sovereign over the storm. And if he's sovereign over the storm we just went through, he's sovereign over every single storm that he will put me through in the future. Spiritually, they arrived at the destination of faith in understanding exactly who Jesus is, the very Son of God, the very Messiah. Physically, they did get to their destination. They went to the Gennesaret. That was where they were supposed to go. But the spiritual destination was far more important. They really had an understanding of who and what Jesus Christ was. So when we follow the cloud, we may face storms and lose that cloud in a physical fog if we take our eyes off Jesus Christ. Call out to Jesus, he will show his cloud again. See the destination? Thank him for the fruit that he has produced on your branch and give him all the praise, honor, and glory for it. Then give him the worship he deserves and be ready to follow that cloud to even bigger storms, knowing that he's already brought you through storms and he is sovereign, just exactly what the apostles found out. And he will lead you through the valley and over the flood. So, as we follow a shepherd's voice, just as the cloud led Israel, we will suffer the storms of life. We will sometimes lose our focus and start to sink. We will wonder if we can handle the difficulties. And the answer is, no, you cannot. But if you put your trust on Christ, you put your focus on him, and you stay there, he will give you the strength to do exactly that. As we do so, there are people with different amounts of faith. There are people who have already gone through the storms. There are people who haven't gone through the storms yet. We need to realize that too. We'll get frustrated with each other at times. As we get frustrated with each other, we need to build ourselves up. We need to make sure everyone has their focus. We need to pray for each other that our focus remains unified. Because along the line somewhere, we're going to be wondering, is it worth it? I followed the cloud. Now look where I am. I jumped out in the water. I was fine. Now I'm sinking. What's the point? Well, the point is, if you follow Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, save me, he's going to bring you that victory. But if you give up and focus on the world's problems the way Satan wants you to, you're going to sink and drown. It is at these times we must remember that the God of the glorious cloud is also the God of the storm. Satan can use God's tools to bring us through difficulties. He's going to try to drown us every chance he can. I mean, those seas are probably 10 foot high. Peter's not going to walk in that. There's no way. He's smarter than that. Look at Peter. He's a seaman. I got him now. Peter did show faith. He jumped out there. But then Satan's going, ha, ha, ha. Look at that. I'm going to throw a lightning bolt at him. He's going to lose his focus. And he did. He started sinking. So Satan once again says, ha, I got him. I got him. But then he said, Lord, save me. He put his focus back on Jesus Christ. And Satan lost the battle. And Jesus Christ showed how powerful he is. He's going to do the same thing in every one of our lives. Satan is going to use every tool he can to try to bring us away from the faith in Christ. But if we remember that the God of the storm, the God of the cloud is also God of the storm, Satan has nothing on us. We will have the victory because it'll be Jesus Christ's victory, not our own. So, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28:20. He is with us always, even to the end of the world. Has the world ended yet? Well, guess what? That means Jesus is still with us, right? Keep your focus on him. He that lives within us is sovereign over the storm and stronger than he is that is in the world. So as Berea moves forward, let us boldly go and follow his cloud. The cloud may bring us through some storms that look like they might drown us. And if we lose our focus, they will drown us. We fear the physical world as Satan's minions attack us. But at this time, we must remember David's words of Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Not in my trust in thee, I will trust in thee. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why this is all happening. I don't know why all of a sudden we have no money in the church for anything. I don't know why they're attacking us so much. I'm scared to death. But I will trust in thee. Because you know the end from the beginning. I don't, but you do. And you know exactly the day of my death, the day that I will come to see you, and you know all these things. I'm going to trust in thee. You are going to bring me through the storm, Lord, because I can't do it. That's what he's trying to teach you. And if you learn that lesson, you will have his victory. Lose focus and fear. Follow Peter's words, Lord, save me. He will lift us out of the world's whelming flood and lead us to the valley of the shadow of death to prepare us a table in the presence of our enemies. He loves to do that. You know, Satan thinks he's got Peter. Well, Peter says, Lord, save me. He lifts him up, puts him in the boat, and it comes perfectly calm. They probably had a real good meal at that time. They sat down and relaxed, and Satan's going, I lost again. That's what he loves to do. Because guess what? Not one of you are capable of defeating Satan. But he that lives within you is. And he loves to have very weak people achieve victory over a very strong Satan. And when he does so, he's glorified by it because we put our faith in him. So, lifting us out of the whelming flood, he'll lead us to the valley of the shadow of death, prepare us that table. And then, after resting, he's going to move that cloud again. He's going to bring us through a worse storm. Follow him and don't fear. Jesus is still with us. We will suffer persecutions. We will see carnal failures as Jesus prepares us spiritually. Then at last, the cloud will lead us home. And Psalm 23:6 will remind us, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is our final destination. But there are a lot of storms between here and there because this world is not our home. It is Satan's dominion at the moment. He's going to be judged. He's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. His end is sure. Guess what? Yours is too. You follow Jesus Christ, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the more victories you have, the more you can glorify him at that time, and the more fruit that you can show. So don't worry about what happened. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Hold on to that. We'll be talking about it in the afternoon service because we have a lot of opportunities in Berea. We have a lot of clouds moving. Guess what? That means we have a lot of storms. With those storms, there's some frustrations that happen. So that's what I want to discuss in the afternoon service. So if you can make it, please do. Because we need to strengthen ourselves. We need to put our focus back on Jesus Christ and realize he is who we're glorifying, not our own ideas. So, do you have fear? Or you have little faith? Pray to Jesus and put your eyes back on him. The storm will calm and you will have his victory. And with that, turn to hymn 326, which is, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Are you worried about the whelming flood? Are you worried about the trials out there? Peter wasn't. When he saw Jesus, he went right out there. The things of the world grew strangely dim in his eyes. He wasn't worried about the wind, the lightning, the storms, because he had his eyes focused on Jesus. When he lost that focus, that's when the cares of the world came in. Very intelligent man. He knew the dangers of that storm. When he lost focus on Jesus, those storms came back into focus. Every one of us has storms. If you want those storms to turn into victory, if you want to get to the destination, put your eyes back on Jesus. And then the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The God of the cloud is the God of the storm. And if the cloud puts you through the storm, he will bring you through it. With that, as we go to prayer, think about it. Are you having trials? If you're having trials right now, follow Peter's words. Lord, save me. I have lost my focus. Put my focus back on you, and he will put his hand out and will lift you up and put you back on top of that flood. And then ask him, what destination do you want me to go to? How do you want me to serve you, Jesus? Do you want me to go to Gennesaret? Do you want me to go somewhere else? I will go where you want me to go. Ask him that. He'll show you. He'll show you the path, and he'll give you the power to handle any storm that he has in the way. If you're not saved here, if you've never accepted the free gift, you're not even in the boat. You're already drowned. But he can lift you up if you ask him. So today, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, if you've never accepted the blood of Christ as payment for your sins, please come up while we're praying, and I'll show you exactly from his word how to do it. And you can have that victory. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. As Rich plays one verse, pray those things, and then I'll close this. Father, we're so thankful that you are the sovereign God of the universe, sitting on your throne in the third heaven, allowing all things to happen by your will, increasing our faith in everything that you do through us. And Lord, I pray that we will remember when your cloud moves, that you know exactly where it's going and you know the way perfectly. You know where to put their steps, that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death to arrive at our destination, where you will prepare a place for us in the presence of our enemies, and that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But Lord, to do that, we need to follow that cloud. And we know that the God of the cloud is also the God of the storms. And when you bring that cloud through a storm, you do know the way. You will bring us above the whelming flood. You will give us the spiritual victory that you intended if we keep our eyes upon you. And Lord, give us the wisdom to know that when we lose that faith, when we lose that focus, as I often do, that I can yell out, Lord, save me, and you are there to lift me out of the whelming flood and put me back above it. Lord, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Let those be the words of this church, of each family, of each member. And let us always put our full faith and trust in you, that you will bring us to our time of victory, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I ask all of us in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.